All right, so welcome to another podcast for Three Slow Guys Running Marathons. I'm here today to talk with my good friends Missy and Tim. We all just ran the California International Marathon, CIM, last weekend on Sunday, December 3, 2023, up in the Sacramento area. I just want to invite them here today to kind of talk about the race, what they felt was good about it, what they felt was terrible about it, and maybe talk about training for the season, because I know, you know, Tim set up, he had a really good race on this one. So I think that being said, Tim, I'll just probably start with you first. Maybe I'll just kind of ask you, just kind of remind the remind the people who listen, the two listeners who listen to our podcast, who you are again, and how long you've been running again, maybe just for the audience here. And how many marathons have you done?
Let's put it All right. Well, shout out to the three listeners who do, you know, regularly listen to our podcast. We appreciate it. So I, let's see, CIM was, I was actually just trying to think, I think that was my 16th marathon, and second, this season. So, and then let's see, I'm sorry, your question was, as I was trying to do arithmetic in my head, which is always, futile effort on my part. But what was the second part of your question?
How long you been running again?
How long have I been running? I started running probably in my early 30s. I got into it because I had moved to an area where I didn't know anybody, and I was kind of tired of just going to the gym. And somebody said, well, why don't you try to sign up for like a 5K, a 10K? And it just started from there. A 10K turned into a half, and a half turned into marathons. And, you know, more than 20 years later, you know, with, you know, I've gone to, I think, CIM between the three of us was now our fourth or fifth marathon together. So it's just something that I have continued to do over the last over 20 years now.
Awesome. All right. So Missy, I'll ask you the same question. How many races or marathons do you think you've done? I know you're probably doing the count in your head. And then, you know, and how'd you get into running also? Maybe those are kind of two questions for you.
So I think last Sunday was my seventh marathon, my third sim. And I will say that I'm a recent marathon runner, mostly because I think I got the push from you, Brian, to start running marathons. And we all know, we just listen to whatever you say when it comes to running.
Oh boy.
But I have been running, I just checked, and I've run, I think my first half marathon was over 15 years ago. And I started running just because I had coworkers at work that were into it, and I thought it would be a cool thing to try out.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then let's go on to the race here itself. Missy, I'm not really that pushy. I hope I'm not to get you to run. But so, Tim, the funny story about this one was we were meeting, we were watching the NBA Finals in 2017, and we were having a pre-drink down in Oakland.
Okay.
And then I had been asking Missy for like years, like, oh, why don't you do a race with us? Why don't you do a race with us? Why don't you do a marathon? And then I think maybe it was the high of being in the NBA Finals.
You reached a perfect moment.
Yeah. She shook on it. We shook hands on it. It was game two. That was when the Warriors, I think they had the best NBA record in the playoffs, like at 16-1. But yeah, she said yes. So it was it. So, okay. Thanks, Missy. All right. So maybe I'll ask.
Can I say something for the record real quick? I don't find you pushy when it comes to training for marathons. I do say that when you plan to where we're going to eat before and after a marathon, that 6 months in advance, I have to give you credit on that. You definitely put the planning efforts ahead often and early.
I would agree.
That's a good thing, Brian.
Both of you are just as well prepared, Tim. You're prepared with PowerPoints and the right communication.
Touche.
Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. So let me just ask Tim, what was like maybe a one or two sentence impression of the race? And then obviously we'll get into race logistics after, but like maybe just your overall like thoughts on the race itself.
I was very happy with the race. I think, you know, probably for more nostalgia reasons. I mean, having grown up in Northern California, it's always great to come home. And you just, there's just, the weather is always, great to come back to there. So, you know, for me, I mean, I thought the weather, at least in the first part of the race, was terrific. You know, cool morning, a little bit overcast. You know, the course itself, I guess I was a little surprised at the course. I had not really studied the course ahead of time, which I normally do. I was expecting this very flat course, but there were some rolling hills in the first 10 miles at least. So that was a bit of a surprise, but you know, I thought the crowds were great. I was envisioning more of a kind of a quiet course, but the neighborhoods come out. We had bands playing. We had some terrific costumes and signs that I've seen in other, you know, more larger marathons, but it never felt crowded. The volunteers were excellent. And, you know, running and finishing at the state capitol was a treat.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So Missy, I'll ask you, I know you've done this a few times already with me. So, you know, I think this was might be your, what, your second or your third?
Yeah. Third.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that? What did you, maybe your overall impression of that race?
So I think that with Sim, it's probably one of the most organized, if not the most organized race. Everything from the race expo, the transportation to get to the race itself with the multiple aid stations and water stations. You don't necessarily see that in all of the marathons. So I think that helps. And I know that Tim had mentioned the crowds. I think this year, I know we ran 1 year during COVID, 1 year pre-COVID, but this year there were a lot of people throughout the race, which I think helps in terms of the crowds.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Okay, so then let's talk about the race logistics. So I'll just kind of read some stats here. So this was the 40th edition of the race. I think the first one was back in 1983. This year, I have my numbers right, 9,224 full marathon entries. And then I guess maybe about 800, 1,000, maybe 1,000 people doing the relay. Over 3,000 Boston qualifiers, which, you know, one day maybe we'll be able to do on time.
Wow.
But yeah. I think this is a good course for it. And then maybe let's just talk about kind of the race itself. So you start off well, you have to take a bus to the start, but the start's over at the Folsom Dam up in Folsom, which is about 25 miles away north. So I know, Tim, you and I and Missy, we all took the bus from downtown. What did you guys think about that? Was that like... crowded, organized? Maybe I'll start with you, Tim. Do you think, what do you think about the bus meetup in the morning and you know, getting up to the Capitol? I mean, getting up to the start line.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Brian, I have to say something for our listeners. I have to give a big thanks to you. When I met up with you in downtown, you were walking towards me. You had not one, but two cups of coffee in your hand. I have never been more grateful for a cup of coffee in my entire life. It was just absolutely, because I couldn't get one in my hotel. Just like, I really could go for a cup of coffee. I kind of looked at the Starbucks next to me. And of course, it was closed because we were up at 4 a.m., but it was just magnificent, and I will be forever grateful.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I didn't have, I was following you guys to where we were supposed to meet up. I think, you know, once we found the line, it moved pretty swiftly. I think we made it maybe 10, 15 minutes. Fortunately, we got on the good bus as opposed to the school bus, you know, so we had a, you know, nicer, more professional looking bus with the heater on. But I didn't have any issues. I just, you know, you guys were the CIM veterans, so I was always looking to you as to when to get on the bus, you know, where we could sit before the race. So I thought it was, I had no issues there.
Yeah. And then to Missy, I know you and I have stayed in the Point West area, which is a different area with the hotels. And we've taken that bus before up there. But what did you think about that? Was that, how do you compare the downtown bus that we took this time versus the buses we've taken in the past from the Cal Expo Point West area?
So I think it's similar in that both are pretty organized and there's no shortage of buses. Definitely it seems like more people stay in that Finish Line area or the downtown area. But for some reason, it seemed like the buses were endless. So it didn't seem like there was an issue. I will say, when we compare the two areas, it's definitely a little more convenient to stay in downtown, especially after you run the race and you can just walk back. Yeah. I know I stayed at the Sheraton, which you probably can't get any closer to the Sheraton when it comes to going to the expo, going to the bus, walking home from the Finish Line. So I did like staying in downtown better.
So for you, can I ask, I know you were at the Sheraton and I guess this gets into like the where we stayed, but how, was that like a 5-minute walk from the Finish Line for you or yes. less than that?
Yeah, it could have been less. The only problem was that the race went between the Sheraton and the Finish Line. So you kind of had to go around that area. But if it wasn't for the race, you would literally just walk right down the street.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then, Tim, you and I stayed near the Golden One Center. Was that an issue for you getting back from where the Finish Line was over to you?
Yeah, like Missy, I was a little turned around when I got to the Finish Line. I just, you know, where was the exit was something that I kind of struggled to figure out where to go. But yeah, like Missy, we had to, well, I had to cross the actual course itself. So they had a system, you know, like put together where, you know, you would cross the first half of the street and then you would cross the second half of the street and they were, you know, guiding the runners around you. So once I got past that, I was fine. But yeah, no issues getting back.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to maybe some of the race logistics again. So you start off in Folsom, you ended the Capitol. We talked about like taking the bus up there. What did you guys think about the start itself? Like, you know, with all of those, just being in Folsom, kind of in that area. Maybe I'll start with you, Tim, as compared to maybe other races that you've done, because I know you've done some big ones. How do you think that start line area was as compared to maybe some other ones you've seen?
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, no issues for me, and there's plenty of space. I think they do go a little bit overboard announcing multiple times that we are known for the highest ratio of porta potties to runners. I was sort of like, okay, I get it. Do you really need to keep advertising that? Good for them. But yeah, I mean, I just found a little space, you know, to sit down and just get myself ready and, you know, apply the finishing touches to my race gear. Yeah, so yeah, no issues there at all. And fortunately, the weather, you know, is a little chilly, but I was never cold, so yeah, no issues. I think they did a great job, and you know how they staggered the start from, you know, obviously the elites go first, but then it's sort of the left side goes, and then the right side goes, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're off and running.
Yeah. Okay. And then Missy, how about you on your thoughts on that? I know we've done a few together. What did you think about that? The start.
So the one thing I forgot to mention is that when you take the bus up to the start, what's great about it is you can actually sit on the bus until you want to leave. And I think that didn't matter as much this year as it did last year when it actually was raining up until the start. So the fact that you could sit on the bus is amazing. I agree with Tim. There was so much space to get warmed up. There were the multiple porta potties. Everything was just very smooth and you didn't feel cramped, even though there were a lot of people.
Yeah. I happened to find someone, one of my actually Run 365 people from San Francisco, who was wearing the exact same sweatshirt as me. We did find my twin, and I did have to take a picture with her. So Michelle Ju, if you're listening, shout out to that. Okay. All right. Let's talk about kind of the race itself. So it is a net downhill of about 366 feet down from Folsom down to the state capitol. You basically start off at Folsom, you're heading south, and then you make a quick right turn within like the first mile. And then you're basically winding your way down through like Citrus Heights, Fair Oaks, Carmichael, Arden, the J Street Bridge, which goes over, you know, the American River, and then past Sac State down to Sutter's Fort, down to the Capitol. Now, I know kind of all those cities kind of blend in together, but maybe I'll start off with Tim and just say, and just kind of ask, I know you're kind of running through suburbia. Do you, maybe what's your impressions of kind of running through that area? I think I know you both said that, you know, there were some good crowds, but maybe some overall thoughts on kind of running through those cities. Mm-hmm. How did you, maybe your kind of thoughts on that.
I guess it sort of has a, maybe you start with a very sort of small town feel, you know, you're running through some neighborhoods and, you know, people have come out and you run past, I think, you know, a high school and elementary school and, you know, they have their own volunteers, student volunteers. We had, you know, people who were cheerleaders, you had bands, and then you get into some downtown, some small town downtown areas. So, yeah, I think Missy had said earlier that the crowds this year seem to be pretty well, they seem to be an increase. I think my only huge surprise on the crowds were people wearing Philadelphia Eagles gear. I was like, wow. you guys are taking a serious risk in this area, considering the Niners played the Eagles later on that day. That was my only like really kind of moment.
Yeah, that's like running a race in San Francisco and somebody wearing like Dodgers gear or okay. All right.
I think, Brian, you should have also tracked how many people said to you, go Niners, because you were wearing a Niners shirt. It must have been in the hundreds by the time you finished.
It was getting annoying, just like when Tim was running the New York Marathon.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Segway, but 2015, Tim, you raised funds for the New York Marathon for which group again? I can't see.
Oh, it was Team for Kids.
Yeah. So that was great. And you wore a singlet with your name, right? And it's New York. So like there's seriously like people on every single step of the way other than the bridges. And then I swear every block there were at least five people saying, go Tim. So sorry, Tim.
And I haven't done it since.
Okay. Maybe in terms of the course, what do you think like was the hardest part of the course? Like, I mean, I know it's kind of net downhill, so it's not heavy hills and it's not heavy swooping downwards, but what do you think was maybe one of the hardest parts of the course? Maybe I'll start off with you, Tim, about that one.
Yeah, I don't think there was a part of the race where I thought, oh, this is really hard, and you know, probably not the best comparison. But when I think of, you know, when we all did Big Sur, I would say Hurricane Point was the toughest part.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it wasn't the course; it was really just I think once I got to 18 and 19, my legs were getting heavy. I think had to do more with fueling than the course itself. What I would say is that, like I said earlier, what surprised me, I thought it would be extremely flat, but there are rolling hills in those first, you know, 10 miles. So, you know, the cardinal rule is don't go out too fast. So I would say anybody running CIM, just be aware of that, that yeah, it's net downhill, but you are going to have some hills to climb in that first part. So, you know, conserve and, you know, if you can, if you're looking to run negative splits, you definitely want to take that into account if you're ever going to run CIM on those first 10, on that first half, first 10 miles.
Yeah. And then maybe Missy, what do you think? Was there anything that you maybe found negative about maybe the course or?
I actually like the course. I agree with Tim. There's the rolling hills. So, but I do like the course. I know the last part is mainly flat. I think it was just for myself, this year probably wasn't my year, but it had nothing to do with the course itself.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I love this race. I've done it. This is my fourth time and I would probably do it again next year. So yeah, I actually don't really mind it at all. I actually was telling Missy, I actually really kind of enjoy some of the, like the light hills. Not the heavy hills like Hurricane Point, Tim, but like I do like kind of the upward sloping motion of some of the lighter hills because I think it makes you work different parts of your legs. So it just doesn't feel like the same motion kind of over and over again.
Hey, Tim, I think be prepared, because I bet the day after Boston, Brian will ask you, Tim, do you want to do Sim? Or do you want to do Honolulu? Which one do you want to do, Tim?
And I'll echo that and say that will happen within the first 30 minutes after the race. I didn't even have you taken a shower.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, when we're at the Mandarin, you know.
Right, exactly. Kind of chilling,
having a cocktail.
Maybe one of us is getting an IV. I don't know, but it will be. Exactly. So, Tim, where do you want to stay for CIM? Do you want to be in the same hotel?
Oh man, you guys know me too well. Okay, you know, for anyone who has running friends like Tim and Missy, like you guys know, like we all know each other, so it just comes across like, because you spend so much time like on a course running by around, you know, with that same person, so the jokes just keep on rolling. Okay, what was I going to ask you? So we talked about that. Okay. Now to the part I wanted to get into is like the training session for this season. So Tim, you PR'd this race. Mm-hmm. You kicked butt from from your side. So I want to get into like, what is like your normal training season for the year, like as maybe compared to years past, and considering you got a PR this year, what did you do a little bit different? With your training for this season. So I'd like to maybe dive into that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the key differences between this year and years past is I actually went out and started working with a coach. For years, I had done pretty much the same marathon plan from New York Roadrunners. This was a plan where you just add in a little information about yourself, your splits, and recent times. And it just spits out a training plan. But in this case, I wanted to see if maybe I could do a little bit better by have someone watch me, go running with me, and just kind of get a sense of how I've approached it. So, it wasn't so much the training plan, although that changed. It was an emphasis on recovery, on nutrition, and really sleep. As I've gotten into my late 40s, I certainly don't bounce back as fast as I used to. So there's a lot of emphasis placed on that. There was also more of run your easy runs easy. And the reason behind that is that, you know, if you are, it's all about recovery. So if you go out and do a 5 miler and they say run at an easy pace, run at an easy pace, because you're going to need that time to recover, to come back and do, say a speed workout, or a long run. I think those are two, I think, you know, between, you know, the nutrition, the recovery, and running your easy runs easy, that made a difference for me, because then when it came to speed work, I did feel fresher. I was able to push harder during the interval process. And I think, you know, maybe a final component was having someone who pushes you a little bit. And, you know, for instance, my coach's name is Lisa, and Lisa would say, okay, I want you to run this, you know, split during this time. And I would say, okay, I can't do that. And you'd be surprised that, okay, wait, I am actually hitting those marks. So that to me, I think probably were the biggest two. I think those were the key differences in approaching CIM this year.
Okay. And I got a follow-up question then, Tim. So what were you running, like maybe a time difference between, you know, those easy recovery runs, or those like, you know, the runs where you weren't pushing yourself versus like your interval pace? Like how big was that mm-hmm. gap between those two?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, it depends on the interval pace, but what I can say is that my easy run pace was probably at least a minute slower, maybe a minute 15 slower than my actual marathon pace or my intended marathon pace. So my marathon pace, I was aiming for around 9:30, 9:45, and then my easy run pace is like 10:30, 10:45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's good. And then having a coach and having someone hold you accountable, that's something you would recommend to anyone?
I don't know if I'd recommend it to anyone. I mean, every runner is different. In my case, I think I was running very conservatively in races past. You know, I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't think I was going to hit that pace. So I would always, I'd always err on the side of caution. And that's just sort of was sort of my mentality, but it was more like, no, you can actually hit this pace. You know, see if you can hit it and let's see how your body responds. I think that worked for me. I don't know if it'll work for others. Some just are okay with their own training plan, but it worked for me.
Okay, so Missy, I'm going to jump to you, and maybe you can talk about your training for this season, and because I know you ran San Francisco and Oakland. I'm sorry, San Jose halves kind of in the summer and the early fall, but maybe you can talk about what did you do for your training process for CIM this year.
So first of all, after Tim talked about his coach, now I'm thinking I should get a coach. That sounds so good. And I know Brian, you were talking about that as well. So I think what I do is I follow a training plan loosely, but in general, I mix up running throughout the week with actually Orangetheory Fitness. And I find that actually helps because it gives me kind of more on the strength side that I need with Orangetheory. So I usually do that pretty much every week with a long run, one day during the weekend and one day of rest.
Which training plan did you follow this year?
I forgot which one I had. I was like looking for it.
But you
But
say that
now,
the Orangetheory thing, I mean, I know you've raved about it, but it's really helpful, I think, for you to do
I
that.
think it's surprising how helpful it was. I think ever since I started, which must have been now 5 years ago, I could see a difference in my running, which some people might not correlate the two, but the blend of strength workout with the weights, there's rower, and then also treadmill work, I think really helps with the running.
Is it a like a fitness circuit that everyone kind of does?
It is, it is. And the circuit changes every class, but essentially you're going to hit the treadmill, the rower, and some type of weight at every class.
Oh, you guys are both inspiring me with little things I need to do for myself. And so maybe I'll just talk about myself really quick. So I had been following the Runner's World training program. So I used it to get honestly down to like 4:30 was kind of my goal. And then from there I moved up to a 4:15. So they have different running plans. So I went from a 4:31 to a 4:15. And then this year I had been training with a 4 hour target goal. And but as you know, and as Tim and Missy have heard from me, I think I ran probably a little bit too much this year. So we did Big Sur, which was in April, and then I happened to do San Francisco in the summer, which I'm part of the training group for that. And then I decided to do CIM this year because I love this race so much, and I know Tim was doing it. But I think as I tore my ACL back in the 90s playing basketball, I probably needed to squeeze in some recovery time, which I didn't do this year. So I'm taking probably some time off after this race because I didn't do too hot. I actually was probably an hour slower than I normally would have expected myself, or 45 minutes to an hour slower. So something I'll just kind of like, just for me, I'll make sure to add some recovery time. So listening to both of you talking about getting a coach, making sure you squeeze in like the slow runs along with your intervals, and then also doing something else, maybe like Orangetheory. Maybe I'll take a look at that. So, okay. The other question I wanted to ask, and where I just kind of glossed over this, was about the finish line. I know we were trying to make our hotel checkout, so we probably didn't get to experience it as best as we could, but maybe Tim, I'll start off with you. Maybe going back to the finish line, because I forgot to ask that before. What were your overall impressions of the finish line area of CIM?
I think, you know, for me, I got turned around a bit. I wasn't quite sure where to go. It was, I remember crossing. I remember like I was pretty well spent. I was a little dehydrated because I felt, you know, a little dizzy. at the end. I actually was thinking, well, should I go get myself checked out? But if I had one critique, it just seemed to be I wasn't certain where to go. There was a, once you get out of the final runners area, you're with family and friends or all the other people who are there to meet. So I was sort of, had to backtrack a couple of times, and I was grateful for food. I don't know if you guys got the burrito at the end. I took a bite. I'm like, this is not what my body needs. So I opted for the oatmeal. So I did enjoy that. I would say that, just not really sure where to go. Maybe a few more signs on, race exit. I think for me would have helped. But you are down right at the state capitol. It was a gorgeous day. And there's just you just there's an old saying that I've heard. If you ever lose faith in humanity, go watch a marathon, and you could just see people happy, cheering each other, proud of each other, and meeting up with family. And so that's always a great thing.
Oh, I've never heard that before. That's a good one. So Missy, maybe I'll ask you in terms of comparing this finish line versus ones we've done in the past. What did you think about this one this year?
Well, I will give a plug to the Honolulu Marathon because at the end of that, you actually get a mala sada or the Hawaiian
Oh,
donut. So that's always a
yeah.
plus, right?
That's definitely.
But like Tim, I do think that the more signage would probably help. From a food perspective, I also ate the oatmeal, which I thought was amazing at the time. What I do like is that the gear check is well organized. You essentially can get your gear in about a minute. And then other than that, I think it was great. What was pretty inspiring is that when I finished, they were taking the class picture of all the Boston qualifiers. So it was pretty cool to see like all the people in front of the Capitol building taking that massive picture.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that'll be us, you guys, right? Just kidding.
One day. One day. I thought it was for me about the finish line. I felt like it was more organized in years past, but I think it was probably because there was less construction. So
Yeah.
normally some of those streets weren't kind of shut down and you can kind of disperse in multiple directions, but I felt like this year you had to disperse kind of in maybe like two or three ways, but before you could just kind of disperse in any direction. And so yeah, I think it definitely kind of was a little congested at the end, and you were trying to figure a way out how to figure your way out of there was always a little bit confusing. Okay, so let's kind of wrap this up and just talk about then kind of our next race. And maybe how are you going to prepare for that? And is there anything that you would probably do different for your next race that you're going to do? So Tim, I'm going to start with you first on this one. Your next race, I think I know the answer. And how are you going to prepare for it? Yeah.
You mean it's not the New Year's Day 5K that I was thinking about?
Maybe not that one.
So the next race, I'm actually really, really excited. I will be running with both of you, Boston Marathon 2024. You'll be part of my charity team that is supporting Spalding Hospital's Race for Rehab. But it will allow all three of us to run the probably the most famous marathon in the world, Boston. So I'm really excited to have you both have that opportunity. I was fortunate enough to be able to do it in 2022, and it's one of the best days of my life. How am I going to prepare? I think first is I'm going to take a little bit of time off from running. Just to for two reasons. One, to just let my body heal. And two is just give myself a mental break from running. Normally when I take a little bit of time off, I remember why I like to run in the first place. And there's a certain, there's certainly a level of just satisfaction, but there's a joy in running that I think when I take some time off, I find myself missing it. And I just want to get a little bit more of just sort of physical and mental refresh. You know, for Boston, I would probably focus more on a little bit more on strength training, certainly nutrition as well. Just because what I found in Boston was there, everybody talks about the infamous Heartbreak Hill that is in Newton, happens about the 2021 mile mark. But it's the downhills that I found were really beating up my legs. So I'm going to focus on any sort of exercises, strength training that will perhaps let my get my legs into a better state. So yeah, I'll focus on that, and you know, I'll continue to work with Lisa. My coach Lisa is she has run Boston 16 times, so I'd say she's probably the expert on questions to ask. Yeah. But not otherwise, I'm just looking forward to being able to run Boston with both of you.
Question, Tim, you were talking about you know, strength training. Do you have like a gym membership on top of your, like, do you go to a gym? I guess that's my question.
I do not. But I am fortunate where I work has just a small little fitness center with some free weights. So I do just a couple of exercises. You know, I'll do some reverse lunges. I'll do some squats. I do some balancing exercises that just train just some of the core areas and of course my legs. Also allows me to do some mobility exercises just to, you know, prevent injury prevention, things like that. So yeah, I think if you have just access to some free weights and a little bit of space, I think you'd be surprised on what you can do to get yourself ready. It's not much of an investment, although in my case, I don't have to invest because the basement is open to me. So that's how I access it.
Nice. Okay. So Missy, I'll ask you, I know, do you have any other races besides the one Tim had mentioned? Do you have any other races lined up? And then what are you going to do maybe to prepare yourself for Boston or any other race that you're doing?
So I don't have any other races besides Boston, and I think I'm going to keep it that way. The one thing now that Tim talked about the coach, and then Brian, I know you talked about the coach when we were at SIM, is I actually am more seriously thinking about a coach. I probably wasn't as serious about it before talking to both of you, but I think that might be one thing that kind of changes what I've been doing in the past, probably for the good. So I'll probably try to see or research more about that.
Yeah. Cool. And then, so for me, my, I actually do have a half marathon in January that I'll be running with Doug, our other, one of our other friends, but it's the Disneyland, down in Disneyland. And I wasn't going to do it, but it just came back after like 7 years of being on hiatus. So, I'm doing that with some friends, including my friend Doug and my friend Patra. But that's just a quick 1 day trip down there and then coming back the next day. And then, yes, I'm going to run Boston with you guys. I think because of my knee issue, which, I think affected my whole like race, I definitely have to take some time off. It's Tim, as you're saying, so I'm probably going to start walking. I mean, I've been walking, but I mean, like, tracking my walks probably starting tomorrow, but I do want to probably take a quick run when we're, maybe in Arizona just because we're there. But other than that, I really do need to take some time off to let my body recover and heal, because I think I've had some some issues, I think, with my quads and my knees, especially if I don't give them time to rest up. So I will look into coaching, and then I'll probably look for some sort of like class like you had mentioned, Missy. So okay. All right. So last question again, would you do CIM again? So I'll ask you, Tim, would you do this race again? Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great race. Now that I know the course, I think, you know, obviously you get a lot of experience. I think you can approach your race plan with, you know, that much more knowledge. So absolutely. It's a great race.
Yeah. And then Missy, sounds like you would do this race again.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I ask you guys to do it, please don't get annoyed. But I will probably I will probably do it again. So I will probably, as Missy was saying, I'm either going to do this one or home. So
hey, Brian, I will add just one more recommendation for CIM.
Yeah.
If you're eating at Buco de Pepo the night before, order the small spaghetti.
Oh man. So Missy, in our area, you know, we had the leftover food. And so me and Tim are walking back to our hotel. I gave it to, you know, somebody on the street who needed it. And then when we walked by her in the morning, I think it was still there because it was so much food. you're right. Totally right about that, Tim. I think a small salad for three people and a small pasta.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely fine.
So, but you would think the servers would have said something like, oh, I think that's a bit too much, but you know, who knows? Okay. Well, I want to say thanks again to one of my really good friends, Tim, who we've known each other since high school, and then my friend Missy, who we've known since our college days. But thank you very much for joining this podcast today. And if you have any questions, just reach out to us, and then we'll see you at our next podcast. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day. All right. You know, man.